disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, that means that's my cue to start talking. Morning, folks. 27th of March, 2018. Lord's not making another one. Where did March go? Holy smokes, holy smokes. Got a little bit of sleep. Not quite as, maybe my eyes are looking, I hope my eyes are looking better to you today than what they were yesterday. It wasn't a red-eye flight we took home from Dallas, but it gave me the red eyes, that's for sure. Michelle, too, I don't even know she's out of bed yet. Oh, poor George said heavy storms and he can't get in. All right, George. Some others can't either. It amazes me. We got 28 people in here today. I get up every morning and sometimes it's the same 28 people. Sometimes it's not. We're working on, Jared. I haven't had a chance really to spend some time with Jared to get my mind right here. We're working on a system, folks, with those of you who, a lot of people can't get in here. We have thousands of people that are listening. Some listen live, some listen on podcast downloads, some listen on their phone. And, we now have the capability, although we have to figure out how to iron out the rough spots in it, to where you can dial on your phone and ask a question right here on the queue. I don't even know how it works. I'm not even sure if Jared knows how it works, but we're continually, getting sharper with what we're trying to do, trying to expand it more and more. People love interactive. That's why Rush Limbaugh is so popular. People like interactive radio, although he's not interactive anymore. If he's nice every once in a while, he'll let a caller get on there for about 30 seconds. And, you know, you check out Rush Limbaugh's show during the course of the day. He takes four calls in 3 hours. He calls it open lines Friday or whatever he calls it. They don't open the lines. And I heard Rush say many times, it's not really about, the show's about what he thinks, not about what everybody else thinks. And I don't want to fall into that trap. Although we do fall into that trap a little bit because here is the truth. I am the host of the show. And I got up again this morning really early. Doesn't matter what time it is. I get up early and I do research. I've been at it for about 2 hours already this morning. What time is that? Be a lie. 7 o'clock. Yeah, I've been at it almost 2 hours this morning doing some research. I want you to think maybe it seems like it sometimes, but I don't come here and shoot from the hip. I really don't. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, whenever it was, what was that my dad said? Or what was that wise thing? If I knew then what I know now, and that's kind of where I am. I learn a lot of stuff every day. And one of the problems we're having, we're in an information battle. And in the midst of this information battle, we have to try to figure out what is true and what is not true. And I would hope that one of the trademarks of this show is I bring stuff to the table you haven't thought about, or stuff to the table that you have not thought about in that way. And part of what we're doing is tearing down strongholds in people's minds. You don't have to agree with us. You don't have to agree with me. And no, I'm not always right, but I'm always host. And the truth is, you don't like it, listen to somebody else. But I'm going to lay stuff out there, I believe, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and you be able to chew on it. I'll say this again. I said this last week. I know so much more than I knew a year ago. I know so much more than I knew 3 months ago. In fact, I know so much more than I knew last week because of the conference I just went. And I find it ironic from some of the emails that I get. I hate to keep saying this. Some of you are stuck in a paradigm. Some of you are stuck. And so I'm looking at different sources in different places. Some of them may be true. Some of them may not be true. But the truth is somewhere in the middle. And so that's what we try to do here every morning. And I'm a little bit fresher than what I was yesterday. Come with you a little bit of a heavy heart here this morning before we get going. I want to put up on your screen. That's what I want you to do, Jared. If you can scroll down a little bit, scroll down on that page. I don't know if you can see the home page. Jared, can you scroll down on that, what you have up there? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, okay, keep going. I know it is. I want to show it. Keep going. Because I think it's on the OSA. Yeah, come on. That's not what I want. Keep going. It's going to pop. I'm sure it is. No, it isn't. Oh, well, gosh darn it. I hate computers. I hate them. Why can't I dare? Stay right there. Rusty Thomas, our dear friend Rusty Thomas, Operation Save America. Rusty's teenage son, Jeremiah. You see Rusty there in the picture. Jeremiah was baptized. Had a big baptism last year at the Operation Save America event. That by the way, that's a good one. How many of you have to actually been baptized? I'm not talking about sprinkles. How many of you really been baptized and really knew what you were doing when you were baptized? We do that every year at Hear the Watchman. In fact, we got some great pictures, some great video that we did at Hear the Watchman just recently. Baptized, I don't know, 50, 70, 100 people. I don't know. And last summer, the same thing broke out at Operation Save America. And a bunch of people got, one guy wanted to be baptized. The next thing you know, man, everybody was falling in line. Baptism is critical. Maybe we'll do a show on that. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Baptism is a very important part of the salvation process. The reason I show you that right there, just got news in the last week that Rusty Thomas's son, Jeremiah, you can see there in the picture. I wish I knew his age, 16 or 17. I don't know for sure. Has been diagnosed with I want to be careful what I say because I don't want to. I believe in the power of words. Jeremiah has been diagnosed with a cancer in his chest. And Rusty and they took him to a specialist again yesterday. He's been having some troubles. He thought he plays football and he thought he busted a rib or hurt something in a rib, and he's been struggling with it for a couple months and got to the point where he's laying around. I mean, just can't even hardly do anything. And they got him to the doctor, and the doctor did not have good news for him. And they went to the specialist yesterday. And from what I saw yesterday, or what I saw on the internet, communicated with Rusty, but I haven't spoken directly with him. There seems to be some type of malignant growth on a rib or something near the heart lung area. And, Jeremiah needs our prayer. He needs our prayer.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle spoke with Kendra, and they say it's in the bone, and he's also got three spots on the lungs.
I heard that. Well, so people everywhere are praying for Jeremiah. Vibrant. Oh my goodness. Right. Vibrant. Christ-loving young man. So I want to speak life and not death. I hate to use this term. I heard Mark Taylor use it yesterday, and I thought, you know, there's a lot to that. By the way, if you didn't hear Mark Taylor on with Sheila Zielinski, it'd be worth your time to do it. And I don't know what to do with all these prophetic guys and prophetic words and prophets. I don't know what to do with all that. But a lot of times you hear some stuff and it, you know, bears witness to you. And Mark Taylor made the statement yesterday with a couple days ago. I listened to it. Sheila Zielinski. And one of the things that's hurting the church is we focus so much on the negative. Believers. You get wherever you're gathering your information, hopefully not here, but wherever you're gathering your information, most of the information you're gathering is doom and gloom. Most of it is. And the fact that we look at things as they, what was it Robert Kennedy said? Some men see things as they are and ask why. I see things as they are not. I see things as they, whatever, and ask why not. Some men dream dreams and ask whatever. And the point that Mark Taylor is making is we're so bombarded with negativity in the culture and the society that it changes our attitude and our things. Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream dreams that never were and ask why not. That Robert Kennedy said that, probably quoting someone else. Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream things that never were and ask why not. So that's my heart with Jeremiah Thomas. And I'd ask all of you out there in your private time to be praying for Jeremiah. It's God's will that Jeremiah be healed. I believe that to be God's will. And I just ask we would intercede. Lord, I just thank you right now for Jeremiah. I thank you for his loving, fierce, Christ-serving family, Lord Jesus. I ask you right now that you would come to Rusty and comfort Rusty and comfort Kendra and the entire Thomas Nation and those that love them, Lord. We're men of faith. You told us in your word that we should not look at things that can be seen, because the things that can be seen are temporary and subject to change, but we look at things that are not seen. The things that are not seen are eternal. And Lord, we would believe that it would be your will to touch Jeremiah, invader in his body is not of you, that you would do a miraculous work and touch him and guide the doctors and whatever occurs with it, Lord, that be a long life. He'll live a long life, a long, strong life. Serve you, Lord Jesus. You'd be glorified in his life. Just pray that the peace that passes all understanding would fall upon the entire Thomas Nation, Jeremiah and Rusty and Kendra. Let your will be done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you would, guys, today, be lifting up Jeremiah, man. Heck, hey, the Lord healed David Arthur. The Lord healed David Arthur. And the Lord healed Jeanette DuBose. You guys say, what? Yes. Healed Jeanette DuBose. Was at Here at the Watchman a year ago. She just did a testimony. Stage 4 cancer. Cancer is in about 5 different places of her body. Lord touched her. Last year at Here the Watchman. Got home from Here the Watchman. See, we don't believe in it anymore, do we? We really don't. We really don't. I guess we don't believe in healing because we just don't see it a whole lot. We see so much death. We see so many prayers, and the prayers seem not to be answered. And we know, as Larry has shared with us, that we pray that God's will be done and that we fall in line with it. But signs and wonders shall follow those who believe. In his name shall cast out devils, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's all in the scriptures. And it's because we have become, I believe, so religious. And so I don't know. Where are the miracles? Where are the signs? Where are they? And I'm as bad as anybody, I'm as bad as anyone. So golly, we need some faith in America. Lord, help us. The doom and gloom, and it's all over, and the end times coming, and MK Ultras and the Nephilim and the Giants and one of the things I don't like about prophecy conferences is a lot of hope. People go home and sit on their couches and wallow in misery. So I don't know how I got on that, other than I want to continue to pray, if we can continue to pray for Jeremiah. I'm not going to get into this. Well, I believe this in the deep as I could possibly believe. What we're eating is killing us. I believe it from the depth of my being. And what I mean by what we're eating is killing us, I'm talking about the stuff that's in the food. It's killing us. And I would hate to tell you this, but I would believe that there are how do I say this? Generationally, it's going to get worse if we don't stand up, and if the Lord doesn't intervene. In other words, food that I eat is passed through my genes to my children, the impact of it. And then the food that they eat impacts their system, and it's passed on to their children. And, Bible calls those generational curses. Those are Those are generational curses. And I think we can laugh all we want to. You can laugh about chemtrails. You can laugh about GMO foods. You can laugh about all this stuff. We can just laugh and say, oh, that's not true. And that's tinfoil hat. I'm here to tell you guys, how many old folks homes were there when you were a kid? Old folks homes. I remember driving by one when on our way down to go down and visit my grandma and grandpa. I got to keep people posted in here. I would drive down to visit my grandma and grandpa. And we drove by this big building and I said to mom, what is that? And she said, that is the old folks home. There's only one that I even knew of. That was the old folks home. And I guess what they were saying, probably that old folks who, people kept their dad in their house back in those days. Your dad was had a little bit of dementia. You kept him in your house. You put him in a nursing home. Now there's nursing homes on every block, it seems like, right? But this thing called dementia or Alzheimer's, dudes, this is new, man. This is new. And Alzheimer's starting to affect people younger and younger. And I believe it's from either what we eat, what we drink, what we cook in. There is some type of external thing that is causing all of this to happen to the point where it is, I believe, science is now showing us, it is the altering of DNA. Autism. Yes, David, autism. There was no autism. There was none.
Vaccines.
People say it's vaccinations, and then everybody says, oh, there you go, tinfoil hat. See? Yeah, well, it is what it is, man. It is. And so crazy, crazy, crazy time. And, you know, Michelle's upstairs listening right now. Michelle... Now you're going to start thinking I'm really crazy. But I'm not. Michelle got a book from Sheila Zelinsky. You guys ever heard of Sheila Zelinsky? Some of you have. A book on spiritual warfare. A book of prayers. Specific prayers on spiritual warfare. You know, Michelle's been reading that book over she and I for about 5 days before we go to bed. Is a prayer specifically for sleep. You know, a lot of times I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be tormented in my sleep. You got some of you out there tormented in your sleep. Did you know that? You are. I know you are. And since Michelle has been praying this prayer out of this book, specifically, Shelly, bring that down here if you can. I'm sure she's listening. I've been sleeping like a baby. I can't even explain it. And if it works to help you sleep, does it help with unruly children? Does it help spiritual warfare help with broken marriages, arguments between a husband and a wife? Is spiritual warfare, are we really doing spiritual warfare for our president, for our government, for our elected officials? Are we really? Are we really? And I would say we probably are because we don't even really know what it means. We don't even know what that means. Sometimes I don't even know what it means. When I go on an attack against the enemy, we don't even know what that means. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We're supposed to take authority, all powers be given to me, both heaven and earth. And see, for some of us, doing this seems too charismatic, if I would use that word. Bible says that healing is the children's bread. Isn't that what it says? Healing is a children's bread. Supposed to be. Michelle brought the book. Which one do you read over our sleep? Pull that. Bed. Michelle just brought this book down here. She's not going to let you see it because she's in her jammies. How dare she walk into this million-dollar studio in her jam? Is this from Sheila Zelinsky? Power Prayers. The name of it. Welfare, warfare that works. Here's what Michelle has been reading over us every night. You listening? It's so simple. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep, even in my dream. I employ mighty angels to stand around me while I sleep, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil can penetrate. I say to my mind, peace be still. In Jesus' name, amen. prayers against marriage blocking spirits, prayer against airline travel, prayer for hotel accommodation, prayer for travel, prayer for concerning weapon systems, prayer concerning our air, our water, and our food supply. Yes, is that you, Dale?
Well, that was me. I was going to share.
Go ahead, Mark.
I had nightmares up until that conference in Boise. Didn't know that I needed to pray over sleep. And I don't know whether it was Russ Dizdar or one of those guys said I need to start doing that. You know, I had a nightmare that night, and I prayed that night. And the next night at the conference, I didn't have it, and I've not had another nightmare since. Due to praying over my sleep.
It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
It absolutely is. It stopped cold turkey.
Well, see, Mark, here's the thing. People will laugh because, again, we don't have faith to believe. And we don't have an understanding. We don't have an understanding. And I believe that when we die and we get on the other side, we're going to say, oh, my goodness, are you kidding me? We're going to understand it. We're going to see what was going on. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I wonder how many people in America don't sleep well at night. I bet it's astronomical. That's astronomical. And why is it? Well, nobody's ever taught us that it's a spiritual issue. We're being tormented in our sleep. Familiar spirits.
Hey, Coach, amen.
Did I tell you that I was only able to sleep 1 hour a night for 150 nights after my accident?
No.
1 hour a night. Just imagine how crazy you start to get. After that,
I can't imagine how you could even survive doing that.
Listen, I'm surprised I'm here too, brother.
Amen. So, guys, listen. I don't know where Michelle got this. I don't know where she got it, but she's been in it. And pray for your grandchildren. I mean, good stuff. When we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we don't believe it. I got 10 things I want to talk about. Dear, I don't. So is that where I want to start, Lord? Is that where? Here's where I want to start. I want to start today in Isaiah chapter 3. Did you go there, Jared? I'm sorry. I don't know if I gave you a fair warning on this. Let me do a preface here before we read it. I'm so sick of. I'm so sick of these teenagers out in the streets. I'm so sick of the march against guns. I'm so sick of all that stuff. And we're having a hard time. The enemy is so smart. Is our buddy Chad Estes in here with us? He probably isn't. He's probably at work. I'm looking to see if he is. Chad continually reminds us. Anybody know what Chad continually reminds us?
Your emotions will betray you.
Your emotions will betray you. And so we look at what's going on in America, and it is all emotion driven. And it's all emotion driven because we have disengaged from our brains. And when I went into the school last week, remember I spoke in the school, I drew up two things on the wall, on the chalkboard. I should have brought it down with me. And the two words on the chalk, or three words actually, I made a cross. I think I told you that. I made a cross. And at the top of the cross, I put truth. And then on one end of the cross, as this cross goes, you know, as the cross goes, boom. So make a cross, and I put truth at the top of the cross. And then over here, I put logic, and over here, I put feelings. And I said, these two are supposed to work together, logic and feelings. Should help you both come to the truth. Feelings will rarely get you to the truth. The feelings will inspire you to go to logic to get to the truth. We don't even do logic in school. Not even taught in school anymore. Everything is emotional driven. Look at the homosexual debate. Look at the transgender debate. When you whittle down, you go into a high school, which I did last week four times. You go into a high school and you talk to high school kids and you ask them what they think about transgender rights. And does anybody know what their response? I'm going to open this up and see if you guys could tell me real quick. What are their responses? When we begin to talk about transgender rights or transgenders or homos or whatever term you want to throw, what are their arguments? Does anybody know?
Oh, we'll just take, we'll hazard a guess. Oh, they should have every right they ask for. Or some,
okay.
Some nonsense.
Okay, we don't want to discriminate against them. Somebody else?
Born that way.
Born that way? Go ahead.
Who am I to decide or judge who they love?
Right. What else?
Live and let live.
Live and let live. How does her, their transgender affect you? Let's go to the abortion thing. Because see, when we went to the abortion debate, I think I told you this. I wrote two questions. Question number one, is it alive? Is that baby alive? And then number two was, can we kill it? Now they hated that. They hated that logic because that boxes you in. Is it alive? Yes or no? And if you say yes, now you're faced with the next one. Can we kill it? Very clear, logical. When you think logically, it forces you to yes or no. Almost always does. So they don't want to argue that emotion on is it alive and can we kill it? They want to argue on rape of the mother, incest, I'm not ready to take, what can I do with my body. They want to emote. They want to make decisions by emotion. And emotion is a terrible substitute for truth. It's a terrible substitute for truth. But I circle back to where I always end up, and even though some still have a hard time figuring this out, there's a reason why. We are under the judgment of God. Folks, please hear me. Judgment isn't coming. Judgment is here. It's already here. My mind's going a million miles an hour. I want to take you to Romans 1 where it says the wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God is. That's a current, that is a now thing. I'm trying to find Romans without having Jared can go there. Maybe, because I already got Jared where I want him. Now I can't even find, where's Romans in my stinking Bible? Come on here, dudes. Romans 1. The wrath of God, there it is. The wrath of God, where is this? Verse 18, Romans 1, 18. Jared, I'm sorry. Are you keeping up with me, buddy? Yeah, there it is. There it is. For the wrath of God is, not will be, not was, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is already revealed. And what is that wrath of God? That he has given us over is the wrath of God. We have been given over to what? To our vile behaviors, our wicked thoughts. The wrath of God is giving us over. It has past tense. Currently is the wrath of God is revealed. Fellas, it isn't coming. It is here. Now, there's going to be a final wrath, an end-all wrath, but the wrath of God is being revealed right now. It's being revealed. Guide me, Lord. Jared, take us back to Isaiah chapter 3. I'm going to show you something. Here's another truth. For behold, Isaiah chapter 3, for behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Look at this now. This is judgment of God. What's the Lord doing? He's taking away from Judah and Jerusalem the staff, the food, the water, the mighty man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient. He's taking all of that away from Jerusalem as a judgment. Are you with me? He's taking away the captain of 50. He's taking away the honorable men and the counselors and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. He's taking them all away as judgment. And what's going to happen? And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. I got goosebumps. I have goosebumps. The judgment of God is when children become your princes and your babes rule over you. Look around.
Okay, not inside.
And the people, verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Did you hear David Hogg say something about his dumbass parents? Did you? What do you think that is? Dumbass parents and dumbass rules. What I can't remember exactly what it was that he said. My goodness, let's keep going. Boy. And the base against the honorable. And when a man shall take hold of his brother, the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he say, swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of his countenance doth witness against them, and they declare the sin as Sodom. They don't even hide it. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given unto them. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. I'm going to just pause right there and give you a chance to say amen, although you don't have to. Now, we can ignore this if we want to. But the judgment is God. What's he going to say? He says, as for my people, children are going to rule over them, are their oppressors, and women are going to rule over them. And, O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people, and the Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the prince thereof, for you have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your house. Verse 16, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, women have become like men, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with his scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. And in that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls, and their round tires like the moon, their chain, the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbones, and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings, and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. It shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. They put a porn star on television and used her as an authority. A porn star. Instead of a girdle, a rent, instead of a well, instead of baldness, instead of a stomach or a girdling of sackcloth, and a burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. We're under judgment. Children are oppressing us, and women are ruling over us. That ain't very politically correct, but that be the truth.
Amen.
Somebody come in here a minute.
Amen, Coach. Hey, what it is desperation. Understand, they put a porn star on TV. They're never going to mainstream porn. It's just that's how pathetic it is. And also, a lot of people says she was on something wrong.
Listen. It's worth it. We got to look at this. Here's what they're trying to do on this. I don't want to get on this. I'm going to get off this very, very quickly. Understand this. They are doing a Judge Roy Moore on Donald Trump. They're trying to depress his base. That's all they're trying to do. It's a Roy Moore on Donald Trump. Hey, Anderson Coach, Cooper and Anderson Cooper on national television asked her if he used a condom. There was a day that you wouldn't have spoken that in a group of men after you'd all had 12 beers. And now it's on national TV. They're doing. Can't we see what's going? Can't we see the judgment that's upon us? Was that you, Dale? Come on in.
Yeah, brother. It wasn't just a porn star. It was an admitted, full-blown homosexual sitting down telling us about sex and, you know, the.
Oh, you mean Anderson Cooper? So we got a homosexual. Yeah. We have a homosexual doing the interview, talking to a porn star.
A fag.
And it was the most watched 60 minutes in history, I believe. What does that tell you? And most of us can't see through the fog. See, most of us can't. We don't understand what's going on. We don't get it. Get out Sheila's book. We don't understand. It'll sound like I'm going to politics, and that ain't where I'm going. Are the churches warring for righteousness? Are the churches in spiritual warfare for this country and for our leaders and for, are we? No, we're not. Okay, so I got to show you this here. Jared, pull up. It says teenage brain. Little video called Teenage Brain. Now, before we play this, this is from the Khan Academy. Anybody out there that's doing homeschooling, this is a great resource. Khan Academy. Hundreds of videos at Khan Academy. You can homeschool using that, see that there, Khan Academy, khanacademy.org. It's not Christian, okay? But neither is your public school. But this isn't filled with a lot of propaganda. But watch this. Do you guys know this? Do you know that the frontal lobe of a child, boys in particular, the frontal lobe, the ability to think logically, The ability to think before we act, the ability to feel an emotion and logically control the emotion, the frontal lobe is not through developing probably 25 years old, they think, in a young man, 25 years old. Up until the age of 25, men and women for sure, but men also are controlled by their emotion, controlled by it. Physically, they don't have the frontal lobe is not developed to the point where they can reason logically. And so what are they bombarding us with in our public schools? Emotion. So this is a real quick Khan Academy to show you. This one's about 7 minutes. We're only going to watch about 4 minutes explaining the development of the human brain. Go ahead, Jared.
When we think about changes that happen during puberty, we usually think about changes that happen to the body. Things like the development of secondary sex characteristics, or changes in height, or an increase in body hair. But those aren't the only changes that happen. There are actually a lot of changes that happen to the brain as well. And here I have an image of a brain, and this is what you would see if you looked at the side of the brain. So here is the front towards the face, here's the back. And then over here I have another brain, and this brain is sliced in half. So this brain is sliced right down the middle. And these two brains are facing each other, so here's the front, and then here's the back of this one. And one of the major changes that we see during adolescence is the development of the frontal lobe, particularly the prefrontal cortex. And I'll roughly indicate where on the brain that is. And this is the area of the brain that is responsible for what scientists call higher order cognition. Things like thinking about the future and planning and decision making. And also the ability to inhibit certain behaviors and focus on long-term goals. And this part of the brain doesn't really stop maturing until our early 20s. And because it is still developing during the teenage years, because it isn't fully developed, this might help to explain why teenagers sometimes show poor judgment. Another area of the brain that continues to develop during adolescence is the limbic system. And this includes a number of different brain structures. And this image isn't really the best way to view them because a lot of the structures are on either side of the midline. Even so, I want to point out about where they are in the brain. And one structure included in the limbic system is the amygdala, which would be about here. And this is the part of our brain that's responsible for emotions and emotional responses.
Wow!
And it also includes the hypothalamus, which is here, and let me pick a slightly different color for that. And this part of the brain regulates a surprising number of things. But in particular, I want to focus on its role concerning the endocrine system, or the hormone system in our bodies.
Wow!
And to be clear, the limbic system includes a bunch of other structures as well, but I really want to focus on these two. Because in combination with the prefrontal cortex, which helps to regulate our emotions, the fact that these structures are still developing during the teenage years might help to explain why teenagers can sometimes be moody, why they might sometimes have emotional outbursts, like yelling at their parents and stomping out of their room and slamming the door.
And calling for guns
well,
to be
done
away with.
Well, I think that this is kind
with.
Of funny, and while it kind of makes me want to roll my eyes when teenagers act out, this does actually have some really important legal implications. Like whether or not we should be able to charge teenagers like adults when they commit certain crimes. And this is a question that I put to you. Should teenagers get the same treatment as adults if they commit the same crimes? Should they be able to be sentenced to death or to life in prison for acts that they commit prior to turning 18?
Or lead marches against guns?
This is a good boundary. Are crimes committed 1 month before someone's 18th birthday really different from crimes that they commit 1 month after?
Okay,
where
Jared, you can
this
stop
boundary
that.
Be?
So you get the point there, fellas, that the frontal cortex and part of the deeper part of the brain is not fully developed, and George Soros uses them as pawns. And I see adult. I can't believe it. I see adult applauding what the children are doing when we know from scientific research that they don't even know what the hell they're doing. Well, Coach, didn't you just read that? Children will be their oppressors, and women, emotional women, will rule over them. Yeah, Roger.
Oh, and you know, there are two things I want to say. One is I'd love to hear a little more on warring righteousness. I love that terminology. Second, studies in prisons have shown that men in prison, a kid who goes into prison between 20 and 30 most likely will return. But something happens about the third at 30 and forward, and it's not just maturity, but there's something that happens that they start thinking right. They don't want to come back to prison after 30.
Yeah, the brain kicks in, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So Roger, let me show you this one, guy. Jared, the next one I got up. I'm just going to show you a little bit of this. This is crazy too. So now we find out that our Jared, the very next one says what? Emotions block learning. See, they know this. Hold, freeze that for a second, Jared. They know this. So this was a web TV thing done by Soledad O'Brien. And watch what they're doing. Watch what they're doing with kids now, teaching them to emote. Go ahead, Red Jared.
CCs.
Kami Gomez wants to look pulled together each morning when she's getting ready for school. It's a world away from her stressful home life. But it's brought some surprising stresses of its own.
I was used to being around people that looked like me, lived in the same neighborhood, had similar interests. I was sad for a long time. It was so hard for me to make friends.
Feelings, emotions.
Like, this is not for me as you walk through the hallways?
Yes.
Every day.
What isn't for you? School isn't for you.
Fellow students Miles Patrikoff and Olivia Kupiak brought a different kind of stress to school.
My parents, they want me to go to the most prestigious college possible, they want me to get the best grades possible, and want me to work as hard as I can. They expect me to be stressed. And then I come to school, and they're asking me to reflect on my day.
Where do you place yourself on our mood meter?
Their feelings weren't a secret at the lab school. It's one of New York City's most competitive. checking in on emotions is part of their daily routine.
I'm at like a 3-1.
The strategy, called Social Emotional Learning, or SEL, teaches kids to understand and manage emotions, to feel and show empathy, build relationships, and to problem solve.
So this is the thing we saw in the English class. This is the
principal. Women!
Lab school principal Brooke Jackson believes the approach helps students reach their full academic potential.
If you can identify, give language to how you're feeling, then you're much more likely to be able to manipulate your own emotional state.
So, do you think it helps you do better?
I feel more engaged when I have a teacher who, she knows my emotions, and I think that really correlates to how you do in that class or how you feel about that class.
Wow, Jared, you can shut it off.
What a bunch of crap.
It's a judgment of God on us, fellas. It's the judgment of God. We just read it in Isaiah. Women, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of the path. And they're doing it to us on purpose. They're doing it on purpose. Now, I don't want to get into the psyops of, you know, whether Parkland happened or whether David Hogg's really 28 years old or whether any of that stuff. Because, again, can I tell you my approach almost? I believe it all. And then filter it out from there. I believe the devil and the left and the God-hating left and the enemies of Christ, I believe they're capable of anything. I believe that they are so deeply demonic beyond what we can even believe. That when I see it and I say, oh, that's ridiculous, I don't think it's ridiculous anymore. Now, you can. You can.
Amen, Coach.
But I don't think it is.
100%, Coach. And it says in Romans chapter 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed upon all men who what? Suppress it. So you see this wrath is being poured out on the ungodly. And then when you compare that with Revelations chapter 12, it says, and that dragon, Satan himself, knows that his time is short. Therefore, he's what? Pulling out his wrath and fury. So look how they respond to everything. Everything is responding this anger, this volatile emotional state. And that is because the wrath is being poured out because of them suppressing the truth. And then you got, they're encapsulated by a demonic spirit and Satan's pouring out wrath. Brother, they are tormented. They are tormented people.
Hey, Dale, look at the emotionalism in our churches.
Brother, listen, I wanted to jump in earlier. You know me. I don't play with truth, but listen, if we do not believe that God is supernatural, he's not natural, and believe that God does heal, that doesn't mean he's going to heal everything. I always teach there's three types of sicknesses in the world, you know, when we're talking about physical sickness. One is because of sin, you know, part of that is because we don't treat our temples proper. Then there's the sin because of the fall of man. And then the last one, Jesus even said it. He said, this one's sickness is not unto death, but that God would be glorified. And so, brother, amen. I believe in the fervency and the power of prayer. And, brother, I intercede. We have for 5 years now, every Wednesday night, our prayer at our church starts at 7:14 in recognition of 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's the least visited service of our church, and I don't care if there's only 6 of us there or if there's 15 or 20 of us there. Brother, we intercede, and we don't intercede for the mamby-pamby prayers, brother. It is a volatile warfare action that goes on Wednesday night. And, of course, you know us. Then we take it to the streets also.
Amen. Amen. So I guess maybe a secondary theme to what we do here is, I'm neither ashamed nor reluctant to show how the enemy might be working. Now, I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, Satan is the author of confusion. We know that from the scripture. It's how he deceives. Confusion. And I listened to Hagman last night, and they had on what's Laura Loper, is that her name? And she was talking about newly discovered information on the Las Vegas shoot. Now, am I supposed to write that off and say, oh, conspiracy theories, or do I want to dig deeper into that? And then I see the day that the shooter at the Pulse nightclub, his father just revealed, was an informant for the FBI. And now I said, whoa, huh? What? And now we see that David Hogg said in an interview that he wasn't even at the school when the shooting began, but that he rode his bicycle 3 miles. What? I thought he was in there taking films in the classroom. It was, we saw the videos. He said he was there. Now, guys, don't miss this. Part of the confusion is intentional. They're doing it on purpose. They are trying to force us, you, me, to question everything as conspiratorial. Not true. They plant these things. So when you bring them up, people laugh and, that's not true. Oh, I suppose you believe Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act alone. It's a technique of the evil one. And I point it out every day. And I lay it on the table. And I say, you know what? Is this possible? Hey, is it possible that the Jews aren't God's chosen people? Is it possible that your pastor is a hireling? Is it possible that the shootings were staged? I ask these questions all the time because I'm trying to get you to think outside of the box. Part of it is true. Some of it isn't. How do you know if you don't look at both sides? I wasn't going to do this, but now I think I'm going to. How much time I got? Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jared, click on that one up there that says Dick Morse. I don't even know if you can get it up here. Yeah. Okay, stay right there. Now, is this guy a psyop? Is this guy a deep stater working for the other side? I don't know. I don't know. Yesterday on the show, we were talking, Vince came in at the end of the show and was talking about, you know, it's an ominous bill and Trump can do whatever he wants to do with it and blah, 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 blah. And it's funny, yesterday afternoon after I got up over my nap, I go to Facebook and, hey, Jared, play 2 minutes of this. Hey, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's true. I don't know which side he's on. I don't know if it's a psyop. But listen.
Blocking a Republican. And the reason they've done that is because they want the leverage of having every month or two or 3 months a situation where the government could be shut down unless Congress passes a continuing resolution to keep it funded. And just recently they passed a supplemental budget also to keep it going for at least a few more months. And the Democrats are doing it because they figure that's the leverage they have over the president in a Congress where the Republicans control both houses. So Trump sort of sat back this time and said, okay, go do it. Do it what you want. And they produced a supplemental appropriation, an omnibus spending bill that had every Democratic priority they could think of. And Trump let him put it in there and restricted all kinds of stuff on Trump's end. And Trump didn't object. It even eliminated much funding for the border wall and restricted it to $1.5 billion, which is enough to build 33 miles of border wall. And there's about, 1,200 to go. So all that happened. And then Trump said he'd veto it and then reversed himself and signed it. And it became law. Then it turned out that what Trump and his people were thinking correctly is that whereas a budget is set in stone and you can't change it without congressional approval, you can't move money from one agency to another or from one budget line to another or say get rid of this program, install this program and so on. You can't do that in a budget. It's programmed and locked into law. But in a supplemental appropriation or a continuing resolution or a omnibus spending bill, you can do what you like. They're obliged by the rules of the Senate under sequester to have a certain amount in non-defense discretionary spending and a certain amount in defense spending, and you can't fudge those boundaries. But within those boundaries, you can move the funds all about as you wish. So Trump is taking the position that the border wall is a measure for the defense of the United States. And he's saying the money that was allocated to the defense budget will now also pay for the border wall. And he's using his authority as commander-in-chief.
So, is this confusion? Because this is basically what Vince said yesterday. And is it true or is it confusion? Is it? What? Do you see the game that's being played? Do we understand? And I'm going to tell you this. The average person that you see on Facebook ain't got any clue of spiritual things. They got no clue, no understanding. I don't know if Dick Morris is right or not. I don't know if he's honest or not. He used to work for the Clintons. I don't know which side he's on. But the idea that what Vin said yesterday was just pulled out of thin air, that just ain't true. That just isn't true. People are saying this. Now, what is the truth? Well, let's go figure it out. Let's go do some research on our own and figure out what is the truth. Man, 2 minutes. Somebody rescue me. I don't need rescued. I haven't done too bad this morning.
Coach, I'll interject just a little bit of truth here. I just double-checked again, and I'm going to read it from the congressional website. The title of the bill was H.R. 1625, Consolidated Appropriations Act, 2018. Not a supplemental appropriations. Dick Morris may be right about a supplemental appropriation, but this was not a supplemental appriation.
Okay,
Dick Morris
okay,
was
but,
the one that
but,
thought about
but,
the defeat of the Republicans in the campaign that he was the campaign chief of. He is not the smartest bulb in the chandelier.
So the point that I'm making is Vinny is not a tinfoil hat guy because he brought it up.
No, he's not.
Because,
I didn't say he
okay,
was.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I got that impression that some did yesterday. And this is a free flow of information. And it's going to be a program where we don't attack each other. That's the way I play it. You're free to say whatever you want to. But don't be attacking each other.
Well, right. I did not intend it to be an attack on Vince. But I will say this. Now, I'm not an expert on everything. But parliamentary procedure, I am. I'm a card-carrying registered parliamentarian. And words have meaning. And the title of bills have meaning. And a consolidated appropriation is different than a supplemental appropriation.
So here's a point that I'll make it again. I don't know if you listened the last 10 minutes. There's a lot of disinformation going out there because it is the job of the wicked one. And if you think that Barack Obama didn't get away with some of the stuff that Dick Morris is saying Trump is going to do, if you think that he wasn't getting away with it, dudes, listen. We are in a spiritual war that is manifesting itself in the natural form. And everywhere you look, there is going to be dishonesty and deception and disinformation. It is everywhere. And when you turn on this show in the morning, we're going to try to throw it on the table and we're going to try to dissect the truth. And just because I believe it doesn't make it true. And just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.